2 Corinthians chapter 6. We shall read verse 1 as we go on. I'm beginning a study of 2 sessions on the unknown women of renown. The phrase unknown and yet well known is taken from the text 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's study the context of the text. In verse 1 of chapter 6, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. That's an appeal by Paul for all those who work together for the kingdom of God to come together, to cooperate, and to be one, toiling for the work of the Lord. The work is a toiling, as we see the words workers together, meaning to be fellow workers and to toil along. Some of us sometimes may not get along, but we need to subject our whims and fancies to the primary purpose of serving the Lord. And we need to work together to cooperate, not only with one another, but also with the Lord. So that was an appeal for the appreciation. Then, verse 2, we are told, as he says, I have heard thee in time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's a quotation from Isaiah chapter 49, verses 6 and 8, where God told Israel, as well as Judah, that he would make them to be as lights, to reach out to the Gentiles. At the same time, God will bless them as well. And the time for them to minister to all these would be now. Now, the time then. Now, it would be very difficult to minister, to serve in the Lord's work. And verse 4, Paul lists 9 conflicts, 9 possible external conflicts that the minister in God's work will face. But underlying all these 9 conflicts that one should have in facing these conflicts is patience. So that we read in verse 4, in all things, commending ourselves as the ministers of God is much in much patience. From here, patience being the underlying characteristic that should characterize all. They are in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. 9 of them possible conflicts that we face when we serve the Lord. To counter them, there need to be the 9 grace and gifts of the Holy Spirit in us, so that we will be able to face them, these conflicts from outside. And we read that in verses 6 and 7, pureness, 1, knowledge, long-suffering, kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand, on the left. We need 9 graces inside us to help counter the conflicts that will come from outside us. Then there is the 9-fold character. Paul said this of himself and all those who would minister the word of the Lord in verse 8. By honor, number 1, dishonor, by evil report and good report. When you minister the word of God, those of you who do the word of God will know that sometimes people will honor you, say good things about you. Other times, people will criticize you, dishonor you. Sometimes they will give you an evil report. Other times, they give you a good report. Other times, they accuse you of being deceivers, and others will say, oh, what you say is correct and true and so on. 9 graces that we must have. And they seem to be paradoxes. What are paradoxes? A paradox is a statement of 2 elements. One seems to conflict the other, but both are true. So that while you experience dishonor on one hand, you also experience honor on the other hand. Some people may honor you, others may not honor you. Whatever it is, it's okay, because you serve the Lord. And that is the most important as we consider ministry in the Lord's word. As among these 9 is unknown and yet well known. And as you serve the Lord, as you minister in the work of the Lord, you find that sometimes you are known, sometimes you are not known. And today we are going to concentrate on those people who minister in the work of the Lord and who perhaps may be unknown. Unknown to many people. They just work quietly, loyally, faithfully. Unknown to so many because they work in the background. But they are well known to the Lord. The Lord recognizes this. And we are going to consider the people who will be doing this. The women. Now, I'm not saying that the men are not doing that. But I'm also saying here, especially with regard to what is revealed in the scriptures, the women. Unknown and yet well known. The renowned but unknown women in Romans. Why do I choose such a title? Known but unknown women. You know, you're all studying Romans chapter 16. Last week, Matthew did with you Romans chapter 12. And I think Brother Andrew and David and one other brother at the back will be in chapter 16, 15 and 16 of Romans. Now, when I was studying the studies that you were having here in Sungai Nipong, I was asking myself, what topic should I be dealing with relevant to your study? Then I remember chapter 16. In chapter 16 of Romans, there's a list of women who were faithful serving the Lord. And that came to my mind. For example, in Romans chapter 16, you will find Phoebe, our sister, a servant of the church. You will find Priscilla and her husband, helpers in Jesus Christ. In chapter 16, verse 6, you find Mary, who bestowed much labor and hospitality and service to Paul and company. Andronicus and Junia, although Paul named them as my kinsmen, actually Junia is a female name. So that person could be the wife of Andronicus. Then chapter 16, verse 12, Trophus and Trophosa, both women again labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, that's a woman, unless I do not know the difference. Well, she was there. And Julia, there's a list of women for you to consider when you come to chapter 16. I wanted to study all this, but then, as I continued to do research, I found that there were many other women who are really unknown in Scripture and who did tremendous work for the Lord. So, I put aside this and I have come on to the unknown women who served Jesus well. And we shall, if we look at Mark chapter 15, verses 40 and 41, we shall find this as we go on afterwards. Next week, I shall deal with you the unnamed woman who served Jesus at the well. Of course, you will know who she was. Then the unseemly woman who served Jesus by wiping his feet in Luke 7. That's for next week. So, let's go on. or today's study. But before we actually touch on it, perhaps there is another theme that perhaps the sisters group may like to consider. Just now I talked of their unnamed women who serve the Lord. But then there is also the reverse. The Lord who served the unnoticed women. For example, Peter's mother-in-law, the woman who touched Jesus' garment, the daughter of Jairus, the widow of Nain, the woman bent double. Now all these, we don't know who they were actually, but the Lord ministered to them. Now I'm giving you a list of all these. Perhaps the sisters group will one day take up the challenge and study all these women. It will be very interesting indeed, because among them will be examples for us to follow. Now, the third reason why I'm choosing this subject is the development of social and societal values in today's world. Today we find there is a movement known as the human rights movement, and they are all fighting for rights. What would be the rights they are fighting for? Resistance to colonialism, imperialism, slavery, racism, apartheid, patriarchy, oppression of indigenous peoples, and so on. So there is this movement going on, and it is coming into the church as well. Now, I'm not saying that the church has not respectful of the rights of human beings. But what I'm saying is there must be an understanding of these rights, so that when we read the scriptures, we do not just follow the values of the world and import them into the church. We'll deal with them later on. Then there is also, there is also the sex equality movement, where men claim to be equal, women claim equality with men, and that what men can do, the woman can do better. Well, that is the movement, and the man wears the pants, the woman also wants to wear the pants. That's quite right. It's right. There is also the LGBT movement, where the lesbian L claims the right to marry another woman, where the gay, a man, claims the right to marry another man. And there is a bisexual who is a man but claims the right to marry a man or woman as the person chooses. And likewise, the transgender who is born a male perhaps but has the inclinations of a female. And all these things are developing in the world today, and they are coming in to the church. So that in the church today, there is a development of anti-scriptural values. We find that more and more of these values are coming in, and in many churches today, we find men bishops, lady bishops. We find, for example, many churches where the leaders would allow now men and men to get married in the church ceremony. And today, or yesterday, there was in the Congress in the US, a lot of these people who have been fighting for rights, and they have been accepted into the Congress, and there was much rejoicing because of this. Okay. Now, why is this all coming about? It's because of a false understanding of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, where we read that the head of the man is Christ, the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Chapter 11, verse 3. And they say, how can that be? First, men and women are equal, and that's true. Men and women are equal, because we are told that in Galatians 3:28, there's neither man nor woman, nor male nor female in the church. It's also equally true that Christ, our God, is the head of Christ. But Christ is equal with God. I and my Father are one. So how can God be the head of Christ? is also equally true that Christ is the head of man. But Christ has called men brothers. He is not ashamed to call us brethren in Hebrews chapter 2. And so we find that is the scripture teaching inequality in the church? No. Here in 1 Corinthians 11:3, it is not a matter of rights, it's a matter of roles. The Bible recognizes men and women equal. There's neither male nor female. The Bible recognizes that even men and Christ are equal. I call these people my brethren, my mother, my sister. They are all equal. Christ and God are equal. But then why do we read that God is the head of Christ? Christ is the head of man. Man is the head of the woman. Because we are not referring to rights. We are referring to roles. The roles that they play. As in a military setup, we find a very qualified man, a doctor perhaps, or engineer. He may be the sergeant in the military setup. There may be another security guard, but he has been in the service for a long time, and he may be the major. When the doctor, who is a sergeant, sees that major, he has to salute, because the security guard as the major is a higher rank. But it does not mean that he is inferior to the doctor. No. Rights, we must differentiate between rights and ranks, rights and roles. 1 Corinthians 11:3 is a teaching on the roles of men and women and the ranks. Alright, so with that, we now go on. If you want to make a study of this, 1 Corinthians 11:3, you can go to my website and look at the rumination that I delivered on 2nd December 2018, the head of the body. Alright, let's go on from here. Thus, part 1, you study the unknown women who served Jesus well. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, the less, and of Joseph and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Note please, first there were women. These women followed Jesus from right up in Galilee when Jesus began his public ministry to the time when he was crucified in Jerusalem. And they were watching Jesus when he was on the cross from afar off. Then there's another group of women who came to Jerusalem to keep the feast of Passover. Now, who were they? We don't know. We don't know. But these were faithful women. They came. They were known just as women. And they came. The unknown women. Unknown to us. We do not know who these people were, except those who were named, a few, Mary Magdalene, Mary, and so on. But they are recognized by the Lord Jesus Christ. I would call them dames, themselves. They were devoted dames dedicated to the Lord's service. What do we read of them? Unknown, unnamed, but mentioned in their ministry in the Lord as women. No names mentioned, but as women. And that's very important. They were with the Lord from the commencement of his public ministry. Mark 15:41. There were also women who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him. These women, when the Lord began his public ministry in Galilee, followed him right through his ministry in Galilee, then down to Judea, and down to Jerusalem when he was on the cross. These were the faithful women. Who were they? I don't know. I don't know. The names are not mentioned except for the three or four. But these other women were there. Jesus of Nazareth began his ministry with his baptism by John the Baptist. He traveled from Nazareth, where he grew up as a baby, to River Jordan, about 20 miles away. Nazareth to River Jordan to be baptized, about 20 miles away. And then, after his baptism, the Lord started his public ministry. But who were there? The women were there. From that time onwards, we find that Jesus' Galilean ministry was to preach the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, with certain women and many others which ministered unto him. These women, whom we do not know, they were with him. They ministered unto him. Now, let us not just skip over that text. Because when we read that they followed Jesus from in his Galilean ministry unto Jerusalem, they were with him right from Capernaum when he grew up and began his public ministry, and he walked right down to through Galilee to Samaria, then right to, of course he didn't pass through Samaria because the Jews and the Samaritans were not friends, and went down to Judea and to Jerusalem. Now that's a long distance. Some of you went over to Israel just some time back, and you went travel by bus, and the complaint was, wow, very tired, very hot, we have to walk and walk and walk and walk. Yeah. Look at how the women walked from Capernaum right down to Jerusalem. No complaints. Who were the women? I don't know. But they were the women who were there. Fantastic. They were with other faithful followers who kept company with Jesus. So from the commencement of the Galilean ministry, the women were there. In the continuation of the Galilean ministry, through the various places, the women were there. He continued on his way from Galilee to Jerusalem, many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. The women were there. The women were witnesses of his miracles. As he came down and ministered in the Galilean ministry and so on, he performed many miracles. Two of them were outstanding because they were multitude miracles, where 5,000 men were fed. And what's the record? What does the record say there? In Mark and Matthew 14:21, verse 20. They that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women. Don't be mistaken. The Lord Jesus did not feed 5,000 men and women. No. The Lord Jesus Christ fed 5,000 men and women. That means over 5,000. And women and children. That was the emphasis. And women. There was another time when the Lord Jesus Christ fed a multitude. When 4,000 men were fed. Don't mistake these two. They are not identified as one. The Lord fed 4,000 men beside women. Please note the emphasis. And women. Beside women. The women were there. They could see the Lord performing those miracles. Oh, it's so good to hear the women so faithful unto him, ministering to him. Truly, as he moved around performing all these miracles, the women were a great help to him. The women who, now that's what we read in Mark chapter 15, verse 41. The women who followed him ministered unto him. You know, I just cannot imagine the Lord from Capernaum right down to Jerusalem performing his miracles without any help. What did he do when he wanted to eat? What did he do when he wanted to drink? What did he do when he wanted to change his clothes? Never change his clothes? Miraculous clothes that never perish? women were there. They ministered to Jesus in the mundane duties while he performed miracles and ministered to the people around him. These were the women, beautiful women. I do not know who they were, but they were indeed beautiful. They could have helped him in his common chores as providing meals. Who would cook for Jesus? Have you ever thought of that? Jesus ministering in public ministry. Who would cook for him? Could he be hungry? Could he be thirsty? Or no? He may not have to be afraid. When he was hungry, he would take a stone, hop, change it into manna, change it to bread. He could eat. Thirsty, go speak to a rock, and then water will gush out. Would he do that? No. Then how did he quench his thirst? How did he satisfy his hunger? The women were there. They were ministering to him, taking care of him. His clothes had to be changed. In the hot desert atmosphere, he was walking, and yet his clothes would be all dirty and sweaty and well smelly even. But the women were there. I would imagine the women be responsible in changing, helping him to change his clothes. They cared for him. They washed his feet. And that's why we find, as next week, a woman who was interested in washing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Giving companionship when the Lord was lonely, alone. Well, the women ministered to him. And among them, we find there were those who had been exorcised of evil spirits. They were like Mary Magdalene and so on. And we read, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chucha, Herod steward, and Susanna, and so on. There were those who had been ministered to him too by him. They ministered back to him. How wonderful. The sisters should be grateful to the Lord who helped them. And they in turn were grateful indeed. They ministered to him back. They served with their private substance. The Lord had to eat. Where did he get his money? The Lord had to drink. Where would he get his money? The Lord had to change clothes. He was not in the home all the time. He was walking, traveling. Who did all this? Who ministered to him? It says there, the women ministered unto him of their substance, whatever money they had. Now, I'm suggesting this. Perhaps the sisters in this assembly would take the example of these sisters, these unknown sisters, these ministers, these women, and see what they did for the Lord. And you yourself can do these things for the Lord. Never mind if people do not recognize you. Never mind if people do not see you. Do it as unto the Lord. Whatever you can do, do it for the Lord. That's most important. There are companions of known mothers who are ministered to Jesus. No, who were there? The mothers were there also. Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod, Agrippa's steward, she was there. And she was a very important woman because she was the wife of Agrippa's steward. A mother was there. Mary, the mother of James, the less, and Joseph, she was there. Salome, the mother of Zebedee's children, she was there. It's so happy to see mothers bringing their children to the assembly, bringing their children and taking care. Except for just now, a little bit of a noise. The sister in front here, oh, her baby was so good, so well behaved, smiling at me, and then I look back and she cried. Oh. That's because of her awful face. Alright? Anyway, I take comfort in that. While I was no more there and I'm here, she still cried. So I'm not that ugly. Alright, it's good to see you mothers bringing your children to the assembly, to the meetings. Today, mothers don't attend meetings. Why? Children. Children at home receive the priority. Even if you train your children, even babies, bringing them along, well, you are in a way helping your child to recognize the house of the Lord, the people of the Lord, from very beginning. That's how I brought up my children. And today they are walking with the Lord because from very young, as children, they had come to know the Lord. So, those of you who intend to get married soon and who intend to have children soon, remember this. Bring your children. Don't let your children pull you back and stay at home, because that's not very correct. You can still minister to the Lord with children. The women at the conclusion. They were there at the commencement of part of the Lord's ministry. They were there following the Lord all the way, continuing His ministry. And they were there at the conclusion of the Lord's ministry. The women who followed Him were at the cross. They wept when they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. You see how their master was betrayed and beaten up and battered? There followed Him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented. And the word bewail actually means to beat upon one's breast. Wow, they could see the Lord Jesus Christ all beaten up and battered and whipped, scourged, carrying that cross, hardly even able to stand up. And then they cried out. These women, they really were very, very, very hurt when they saw their master in that way. They lamented, they wailed, they cried, they wept loudly. That was a custom of the in those days, but it just indicates their very loyalty to the Lord and their love for the Lord. These women were very broken up when they saw the battered body of Christ being taken to Calvary. The women who watched Jesus when He was on the cross, they were not allowed to go near. They were not allowed to go near. So they watched from afar. Now, does that mean cowardice? They watched what was happening to the Lord from afar out. The women that followed Him from Galilee stood afar out, beholding these things. Were they cowards? They did not go to the front? No, women were not given that status at that time. Not given that status. They were discriminated against. They could not be trusted. So the Pharisees believed. And so women were not allowed to go near. But then they still observed the proceedings from afar off. They were very loyal to their master. Very loyal. They were discreet to watch the scene from a distance. They were loyal to their Lord. They were not as the other disciples and Peter, who fled. The disciples forsook the Lord Jesus. They stood afar off. Remember Peter? He stood afar off, and as a result of his following Jesus from afar off, he became a denier of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were different from the publican. The publican also stood afar off. But there's a difference between Jesus standing, Peter standing afar off, the publican standing afar off, and the women standing afar off. The women who stood afar off were loyal. The publican who stood afar off, he was humbled. He dare not go near because he felt unworthy. Peter followed afar off because he was not loyal to the Lord to the very end, in spite of what he said earlier. So, there were these unnamed women. There were also a few named women. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Imagine Mary, the mother, seeing the Son being crucified on the cross. Can you imagine the heartbreak of a mother? Those of you who are mothers and fathers, even your child being battered on the cross at Calvary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. Oh, how her heart would be touched. But Jesus, as the human Son, was very concerned with His mother. Now, it would be strange if you read the scriptures in John 19:26, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, "Woman, oh, you would think him to be rude, impolite, to address his mother as woman." No, that was a very polite word, a respectful word. It was not rude. The Lord Jesus Christ never addressed Mary as his mother, because Mary could not be his real mother. Although the Lord Jesus Christ had said, pointing to the disciples, to the other people, "Who are my mothers, my brothers, my sisters? These who follow me, who do the will of the Father, they are my mother, they are my brother, they are my sister." He never said, "They are my father," because he has a father. But he said, "They are mother," because he never could. Mary was never his mother actually. And so we find the Lord addressing her as woman. And that was also in keeping with the Lord's opening ministry, when in John 2:4, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" When she wanted the Lord Jesus Christ to perform miracles to satisfy the host of the wedding banquet. Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons, were there. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, was there. Salome was there. We are not sure who Salome was, but he was there. And so we find the women were there. They were the mothers. They were there at the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope that the mothers today will also be beneath the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and own their loyalty to him and serve him as well. Right. They were faithful to the very last, as we shall see later on. They did not forsake him. The disciples forsook him. We read in Matthew 26:56. What happened? Earlier, the disciples in Matthew 26:33 said, following Peter, "Even if everyone runs away because of you, I will never run away." And the disciples, "Even if I have to die with you," Peter told him, "I will never deny you." And all the disciples did say the same thing. "Oh, I will never leave you. I will never run away from you." But they ran away. All the disciples ran away and they forsook Jesus. But the women did not. The women were there. The renowned women, unknown and not named, but recognized after Jesus' resurrection. See how the Lord recognized these women. These women were unknown to many people. Up to today, we do not know who they were actually. But the Lord recognized them. See what happened after he had risen again from the dead. The women were the last witnesses at the tomb. They remained to the very last minute and they saw Jesus being buried and put, and his body put into a sepulchre. His disciples had run away earlier. They returned home and they prepared spices and ointments to anoint his body. They had no chance. The women, they were faithful. They had no chance to anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to do it, and so they went back. Why couldn't they do it then? Because the Sabbath day was approaching and they had to obey the Lord. Even in this, they obeyed the commandment of the Lord to keep the Sabbath. And so they went back, but after that, they prepared their spices in order to be ready the day of the Sabbath to go to the tomb and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they rested on the Sabbath day, and that's what they did with regard to the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright. They were faithful people, faithful to the Lord, faithful to God's commandment to keep the Sabbath. And therefore, they were the last to see the burial of the Lord Jesus. While the women were the last witnesses at the tomb, they were also the first witnesses at the empty tomb. They were the first. Let's read Luke 24:2-10. The preparation to anoint the body of Jesus. Now upon the first day of the week, they came, bringing the spices which they had prepared. The privilege given to the women. Luke 24:2-10. What do we read? of the privilege. They were the first to discover the empty tomb. We read. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with him. They were the last to see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. But they were the first to go to the empty tomb. What a great privilege. Where were the disciples? Where were the men? The men were not there. The women were there. They were the first to go to the tomb, empty tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. They were the witnesses of an empty tomb. The men were not there. The men were hiding. The men were in their rooms. They did not come out. Those men, cowards, weren't they? But the women were the brave ones. They came out. They were the first to receive the news of Jesus' resurrection. They saw the empty tomb. They went in. And they were greeted. They were greeted by an angel. Entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right hand, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. They were the first to receive the great news that Jesus had risen from the dead. They were the first. Not the men. They were the first to declare their Lord's resurrection to the other disciples. Having seen the empty tomb, they were told to go back. What for? Go, tell his disciples and Peter that he go before you into Galilee, there shall you see him. Jerusalem, back to Galilee. Go, tell them they had fled. Go, tell them Jesus had risen from the dead and he is going back to Galilee. Go, tell them. But go and tell the disciples and Peter. From very young, as a young man, I always thought of that verse to be very encouraging. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was sad, forlorn. Peter was very, very down. Jesus remembered him. Just as Jesus remembered the unknown women, Jesus remembered Peter who had denied him. Go and tell the disciples and Peter. And Peter, can you submit your name there? Go and tell the disciples and your name. Put your name there. The Lord is interested in you. You may be unknown. You may have fallen. You may have backslidden. But remember this. The Lord still loves you. The Lord can still restore you to where you were before. I'll tell them and Peter. It was Mandarin and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. The women, they were there. They were the ones who declared the news to the apostles. The first witness of the women was dependable. Now, in the Old Testament, women's witness and testimony was not reliable. A person who was raped by a man must have four male witnesses, but not women. Women's witness and testimony not counted. But here we find that the women's witness was counted. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it given even as the women had said. But they saw not. Even as the women had said. It was true. It's confirmed. What the women said was not fake news. It was right, a faithful testimony. It was a woman, to a woman, that the Lord first revealed himself after his resurrection. The Lord never revealed himself first to the man, but it was to a woman. When Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. You see the great privilege? It's a woman. It's a woman again that the Lord recognized. Unknown, well known, and recognized by the Lord. And so we find Jesus recognizing Mary Magdalene as the first Conclusion, and I conclude now. These women were unknown to all of us, but known and renowned to our Lord. Dear sisters, wherever you are, today you are ministering to the Lord and you serve in the assembly. Praise the Lord. You know, just now as I sat there, I was glad and now I'm also sad. Why glad? I looked back, I glanced back, I saw, wow, this place here, full of people. They could hardly have any place to sit at the back. They couldn't care to come to the front. And I looked again second time, a lot of sisters, a lot of women were here. But unfortunately, I see a lot of empty seats now. They have disappeared. But some have not disappeared home. They have disappeared to go to that side, to the back. They are preparing for the coffee break afterwards. How many of us ever thank the sisters who regularly, every week, without fail, go to the bed, prepare the morning coffee for us, wash the plates and the cups after we have taken our morning coffee? Faithful people, unknown, and I can guarantee this, not only in this assembly, but in all the assemblies I go to. I go there first, early in the morning. I see the sisters coming early, getting things ready, so that they can be in time for the Lord's Supper. Where are the brothers? Where are the brothers? The sisters are loyal. The sisters are faithful. And many of you don't even know who the sisters are who come to prepare all this. Don't believe me? I can ask some of you later on. That you may not even know who the sisters are who come early. And sometimes they would like to linger longer to listen to the word, but they have got to go to prepare for us. Have we ever said thank you, dear sister? Have we ever said thank you to the sisters who are preparing all these things for us? When we have a Christmas meeting, when we have a WhatsApp service, when there is an eat to be done, who are doing most of the work? The sisters. But we thank the Lord for the brothers, of those who understand and who come to help also. Thank you, brothers and sisters. I finish. Oh, dearly beloved sister in Christ, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you do, you are an indispensable part of the body of Christ. Thank you very much. We really love you, dear sister. Really. God bless you. And I take the opportunity to wish every one of you a blessed and new year. As we start this year, remember our faithful sisters who serve the Lord so faithfully. Thank you.